to Rabbi Bila, Rabbi Yaxera, to all the rabbis, Rabbi Schechter, for making this wonderful arrangement and having this wonderful learning program. I'm going to share my screen with you so that those who do not have Tanakh can look in. We're learning Shmuel Aleph. Okay, and we are in the beginning of, here we go, Shmuel Aleph, Chabad.org, wonderful website. Okay, and last week we finished Perek Aleph. We kind of ran through the end of it last week, so I just wanted to go back and discuss some of the psukim at the end of the Perek, and then we'll Mirtz Hashem begin Perek Beis this week as well. So at the very end of Perek Aleph, Shmuel is born. Elkanah and his family go up to bring karbanos. They go back up to Shiloh to bring karbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Mishkan. And Chana says, I can't come. I can't come. Shmuel is too young. He's too weak. She was nursing him. And therefore, I can't come. And very interesting line at the end of the Pasuk, in Pasuk Chav Beis, so she says, V'nires p'nei Hashem v'yashav shamar olam. That if he comes and if he appears before Hashem in Shiloh, he's going to have to stay there forever. And of course, this alludes to Chana's promise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you'll give me a child, and I'm going to dedicate that child to service in the Beis HaMikdash, to service in the Mishkan forever. Okay, so Pasuk Chav Gimel Elkanah tells her, you know, whatever you think I'm fine with, if you don't want to come, I understand. Pasuk Chav Dalet, finally the Pasuk says that she brought him when he was ready, after about 2 years, he was about 2 years old, she brought him, he had finished nursing, when she finished nursing him, when she weaned him, she brought him up to Shiloh, Befarim Shlosha ve'efa achas kemach, she brings him with all this, all of these things for karbanos, v'atvieu beis Hashem, Shiloh, she brings him to the house of Hashem in Shiloh, v'hana'ar na'ar, very strange language at the end of Pasuk Chav Dalet, that the na'ar, the youth, was a youth. He was a young man. What is that supposed to mean? What does it mean? V'had na'ar no'ar. So the Radak says, and the Malbim also seems to indicate this way, that already as a young child, Shmuel was different. He was unique. He wasn't like every other kid on the block. He was already showing signs of promise. He was already developing early. He was already sharp and mature, well beyond his years. V'had no'ar na'ar. And again, even though na'ar, we usually associate na'ar like something na'arish, na'arish kite. Usually it's something derogatory or something not so good. But na'ar, the Mefarshim say, also means, you know, lina'er, means to shake up. That as a child is getting, you know, shaken up, so to speak, as he's developing from one stage to the next, and things are kind of sorting themselves out, so Shmuel was ahead of the curve. Shmuel was developing at a faster rate. He was sharp. He was maturing at a faster rate than everyone else around him. And then the Pasuk Chav Hei, the last four Psukim, Chav Hei through Chav Ches, so we read them quickly last week, we'll read them again quickly now, we'll explain the Pasuk Pshat, and then we'll get into a very interesting Gemara that's at the end of this, the Gemara Brachos that discusses the Psukim here at the end of Perek Aleph. So Pasuk Chav Hei, Vayishchatu es hapar vayaviyu es hanar el eli. So they shech the par, this was the korban that Chana brought, And they bring the nar, they bring the young man, they bring Shmuel to Eli. Now, presumably, they bring him to Eli. So Rashi says a couple of different... Rashi says, one, they brought him to Eli maybe to show Eli that his nevuah had come true. According to some of Farshim, Eli had given nevuah to Chana when she was davening for a child, and Eli gave her nevuah and said that she was going to have a young child, and this is it. So they wanted to show Eli that his nevuah had come true. The Radak says that they didn't just want to show him that his nevuah came true, but they wanted Eli to teach him. Right? This was he was 2 years old, but he was a young boy being dedicated to the service in the Mishkan, and they wanted Eli, who was the Kohen Gadol and the Shofet, to teach him the ropes, to teach him, you know, what to do. The Malbim says a fascinating pshat here. What's the connection between Vayishchatu es hapar, the shchita of the cow, of the bull, Vayaviu es hanar el Eli, and then bringing the young man to Eli? What's the connection between these two things? So says the Malbim that just like Vayishchatu es hapar, just like when they brought this cow, it was a sacrifice. It was something that they brought. You buy a cow, it costs money. You sacrifice that cow, it's a sacrifice. So too, Vayaviu es hanar el Eli, that Shmuel's dedication to the Mishkan, Shmuel's dedication to the Mishkan in Shiloh, was also a sacrifice. Just imagine this for a moment, right? Chana, the great Chana, who was barren, didn't have a child for so many years, and finally, after davening, she has this child, and what's the result? She has to give him up. She has to give him up to the Mishkan. That's a tremendous sacrifice. It's a tremendous sacrifice, just like bringing Vayishchatu es Hapar. So says the Malbim, but that's what it was all about. She wanted to sacrifice, just like they wanted to bring this par and sacrifice him to the Mish, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so too she wanted to bring this child, she wanted to bring Shmuel and dedicate him to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's service in the Mishkan. Pasuk Chavvav, I'm sorry, Vatomer bi Adoni, Chei Nafshecha, Adoni, ani ha'isha, ani tzeves, simucha, bazel, hispalel, Hashem. She said, remember me, I'm the woman who was davening, you know, 2 years ago, a little more, 3 years ago, I was the woman who was davening here for a child before Hashem. Pasuk Chavzayin, el hanar hazeh, hispalalti. So Chana points to Shmuel and says, here's the one I was davening for. Vayitena Hashem liya she'ilasiya she'sha'alti me'imo, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me my request, fulfilled my tefillah. Incredible. And as we learned, all of the things that she davened for, she wanted a male, she wanted a boy, she wanted a special, unique son, she wanted to dedicate him. All of these things came true. Every single one of her tefillos came true. Pasuk Chav Ches, Vegam Anochi Hishiltiu LaHashem Kol HaYomim Asher Haya Hu Sha'ul LaHashem VaYishtachu Shom LaHashem. And she says, whatever, she says, I just want to give him up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what I wanted a child. This is what I wanted him for. And this is what we mentioned last week at the end. This is what I wanted him for. I didn't want a child to serve me. I didn't want a child just so that to say I have a child. I wanted a child to dedicate him to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I wanted a child to dedicate him to the Mishkan. This is the reason why I wanted a child in this world. And such an important Musar Haskel for us. Of course, you know, we have children, we want children, grandchildren. You know, sometimes it's for us. Sometimes, you know, we want the children for us. Or do we want the children because we want to bring them up in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world to serve Him? Do we want the children because we want them to be Mar B'Kavod Shamayim, to bring more glory and more honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is that why we want children? Or do we want children for selfish reasons? You know, because of how it looks for us, or to help us, or whatever the case might be. That's the way it's supposed to be. So that's why I want it. Do we want children for the right reasons, or do we want children for selfish reasons? And Chana was the ultimate example of someone who wanted a child so badly, but not for herself, not for selfish reasons. She wanted this child for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She wanted this child to raise him as an Oved Hashem. She wouldn't even be with him all of the time. She would visit him, but he was going to be stationed in the Mishkan. She wasn't going to be visiting him she wasn't going to be with him all the time. Unbelievable dedication, unbelievable sacrifice, as Pasuk Chaf Hei indicates, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, that's the Pashup Shot in the Psukim. But there's an amazing Gemara, fascinating Gemara here. And the Gemara says that there's according to the Medrash, there was something else going on here behind the scenes. And what was that? So the Pasuk says, Pasuk Chaf Hei, we just read that they shechted this par, and they bring the child to Eli. So of course, we just said the connection, because bringing the child to Eli was also a form of a sacrifice. But the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Lamed Aleph asks this question. What's the connection? Because they shechted the par, therefore they brought the child to Eli? What's the connection? So says the Gemara that they shechted this par, and Shmuel is standing there. He's a 2 year old. Remember, he's 2 years old. He's standing there, and he sees that they're looking for a kohen to shecht, and they're looking, where's a kohen? We need a kohen to shecht. And Shmuel, says, excuse me, why do you need a kohen to shecht? The pasuk doesn't say v'shachat ha-kohen. The pasuk says v'ikrivu ha-kohanim. You need the kohanim to do the avoda. You need the kohanim to bring the korbanos. As the Gemara says, mi kabbalah ve'elach, from the acceptance of the blood, kabbalas hadam, when you accept the blood into the kli after the animal is shechted, from there and on, that's where you need a kohen. But you don't need a kohen for shechita. Even a zar, even a non-kohen is allowed to shecht, even in the Mishkan. So here you have the 2 year old Shmuel. As we said, he was already a sharp child, a prodigy, and he's already questioning what's happening here. You know, why do you need a kohen to shecht? You don't need a kohen to shecht. So they bring him to Eli. Why? Because Eli was the one who had instructed that a kohen should shecht. So they bring him to Eli, and Eli says, "Meimar shapir ka'amrit," says the Gemara. You're saying good. You're correct, right? The halacha that you're teaching is a correct halacha. However, says Eli, Moreh halacha bifnei rabcha at. but you're also a Mora Hora Bifnei Rabcha. You're paskening in front of your Rebbe. You're paskening in front of your Rebbe. A chutzpah. Chola Mora Halacha Bifnei Rabo Chayiv Misa. And anyone who's Mora Halacha in front of their Rebbe is Chayiv Misa. So Eli says, you know, you're saying the correct Halacha, but we have to kill you, you're Chayiv Misa. Because I'm the Gadol Hador, right? I'm the Posek, I'm the Rebbe, I'm the Kohen Gadol, I'm the Shofet, and you're a two-year-old who's paskening Shilas in front of me. Right? Well, this is not appropriate. This is not proper. So Chana comes screaming and says, one second. Ani Hoisha. Right? That's Pasuk Chavav. Ani Hoisha ani tzeves simcha bazel yispalel el Hashem. She says, one second. Remember, I'm the one who davened. I'm the one who davened 3 years ago for this child. You know, you can't just take him and kill him. I was davening here. We had this whole discussion. You had a nevuah that he was going to be born. You promised me. I was davening, pleading, begging a Kadosh Baruch Hu for this child. You can't just take him and kill him. So Eli says to her, don't worry. This one's Chayiv Misa, so we'll kill him. And then I'll daven for you, and you'll have another child. Right? That's what Eli says to Chana. So Chana's response is, El Han Pasuk Chav Zayin? No. El Hanar Hazeh Hispalalti. She says, I didn't just want a child. If I just wanted a child, you're right. You know, you could take this one, he's Chayiv Misa, you can kill him, and then, you know, maybe you could daven and I'll have another child. I don't just want a child. El Hanar Hazeh Hispalalti. I davened for this specific child. Shmuel was special. He was unique. You kill him and you daven that I'm going to have another child. It's not going to be another Shmuel. It's not going to be another child that's the same as this one. El Hanar Hazeh Hispalalti. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him to me. And that, Eli said, okay, I hear what you're saying. Despite the fact that he was Mora Halacha Bifnei Rabo, and he's Chayiv Misa, I'll give him to you, because I understand Elanar Hazeis Palalti, he's a special child, you're right, I'm not going to take him. A fascinating Gemara. We see, you know, a couple interesting things. One, obviously, is the importance of not being Mora Halacha Bifnei Rabcha. Baruch Hashem, I've seen many Talmidei Chachamim and Poskim, and when they're in front of their Rebbe, they won't say a word. That's it, they won't say a word. This is the Gadol, this is the Rebbe, this is the Posek. You know, normally they pass in Shilas. Normally they have a lot to say. But when they're in front of their Rebbe, they're a Talmud. They have nothing to say. Ask the Rebbe, ask the Mara de Asra. You know, ask the Gadol Hador, ask the Posek. I'm just plain old Joe. I'll say something about Rabbi Dr. Glatt. I don't think he's listening, so it's shalom b'fanav. We can be mishabeach him a little bit. So Rabbi Dr. Glatt, as you all know, is so heavily invested in Klal Yisrael being healthy and in Klal Yisrael proceeding with the right. With the right health precautions, but also making sure that the people can do the mitzvot in the right way. And he's been on the forefront of the medicine and updating the communities and helping Rabbanim. I can tell you he's been helping Rabbanim all across the country with different things, and not just with his Moshe Shabbos things, but private communications and emails. And he's just been unbelievable. And Baruch Hashem, he's an expert in his field and he knows what he's talking about. And when you hear him present, and when you hear his ideas, you know he knows what he's talking about. He's an expert, and he has opinions, well formulated opinions about these things. But when Baruch Hashem, I've been on some calls with him and his Rebbeim, Rav Willig and Rav Schechter, and to see the humility, to see just the kavod that Rabbi Dr. Glatt shows, you know, the expert in the field. Know that he shows to his rabbeim, to his rabbanim, to the gedolim and the poskim, is honestly to me is just inspiring. To see someone who's such an expert, and this is something that's really right up his alley, and this is really his field of expertise. But to see someone who just wants to hear what his rabbeim have to say, wants to hear their psak, even though he's also a talmud chacham, but he wants to hear what they have to say, is just something incredible. But you know, the sensitivity that we have to have. Mora halacha bifnei rabos chayiv misa, and Eli wanted to kill Shmuel. It wasn't just because he was jealous, right? It was because he wanted to teach a lesson. This was something that, you know, covered HaTorah and covered HaRav. Rav Yitzchak Hutner Zatzal, the great Rosh Yeshiva of Chaim Berlin, was known for this, for his Talmidim, to constantly be teaching them this lesson, not out of gaiva. Anybody who knew, you hear stories of Rav Hutner, it wasn't out of gaiva. but to teach them the lesson of what Kavanat Torah means, what it means to understand, you know, the Posek Hador or the Rosh Yeshiva, what that means, and the kavod and the honor that's due to them because of their position and because of what they do for Klal Yisrael and for the Ribono Shel Olam. But then also you see also Chana's dedication, right? Chana's dedication, El Hanar Hazeh Hispalalti. She says, this is the one I davened for, this is something special, and Eli, you can't take this away from me. And even though Eli was saying, he's Chayiv Misa, Eli listened to her, and he said, you know what, you're right. And sometimes that dedication of a mother, of recognizing what's right, even the great Eli, even the Kohen Gadol and the Shofet, recognize that this woman is correct, and I have to let her be. Okay, so that's the end of Perek Aleph. Let's move on now to Perek Beis. Oh, we can just click right here. Perfect. Okay, so here's Perek Beis. So now in Perek Beis, Chana davens a tefila, and we're gonna talk about her tefila tonight. And the Malbim points out that if you look at this tefila, the tefila is about 10 psukim, and if you look at the tefila, the tefila is really, the main part of the tefila, says the Malbim, is really the last pasuk yud. The first 9 psukim of the tefila are all shevach, are all praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And says the Malbim that this is the structure that we use in our tefila. As we know, our Shmona Esrei is comprised of 3 parts, shevach, bakasha, and hodah. And even though one would argue that the shevach is not the most important part of the tefillah, but nevertheless, the Chazal tell us that a person la'olam yasti radam, a person always has to begin their tefillah with shevach. Why? Not to chas v'shalom butter up HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to make him feel good, he doesn't have feelings, he doesn't have emotions, it's not something he needs. But it's for us to recognize, for us, in order to ask about Kashav Hashem, in order to ask Hashem for refuah, for parnasa, for das, for all of these things, for geula, for all of these things that we want, we have to recognize that He's really the boss, that it's really coming from Him. Once we recognize that, then we can ask Him, then we can mean our bakasha, and then of course at the end we can have the hodah, and we can thank Him for all that He does. Okay, so we're going to go through this tefillah. Now the tefillah is very poetic. We'll go through it with a pashup shot like Psukim and Rashi, and then we'll come back. The Malbim has a whole different approach to this tefillah and has a theme that he runs through the tefillah. I'm not sure if we'll get to the Malbim's understanding tonight. We might have to do that to Mirtz Hashem next week, but at least we'll start tonight and get the basic pashup shot of the tefillah down pat with Rashi. So if you take a look at Pasuk Aleph, I'm going to read the Psukim, and then we'll look at the translation, because the words are a little bit hard to translate, because it's a poetic tefillah. Pasuk Aleph, Atispalel Chana Vatomar, Chana Davins, and she says, Olatz libi b'Hashem. Some of these Psukim have become famous, different songs that people have composed to these words. Olatz libi b'Hashem, my heart has rejoiced through Hashem. Again, I'm using liberally using the Chabad translation here. Rama karni b'Hashem, my horn has been raised by Hashem. Rochav pi al oivai, my mouth is opened wide against my enemies to swallow them up. Ki samachti b'Yeshuasecha, because I'm so happy because of your Yeshua. Excuse me. So she's rejoicing. Now it's interesting. What's the discussion about the enemies here? Right, I'm swallowing up my enemies. So Rashi says, Pashup Shat, who was the enemy? Who was Chana's enemy? Chana's enemy was Penina. Now, if you remember at the beginning, Perek Aleph, so Penina and Chana had this debate. They had this discord. Penina would chepper Chana about the fact that she didn't have any children, and she would make her feel badly. And again, Chazal tells us Penina was L'shem Shemayim, but and it accomplished its goal. She got Chana to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is of course what ended up being successful in allowing Chana to have a child. But at the end of the day, from Chana's perspective, you know, Penina was the enemy. Penina was the one who was making her feel badly. Penina was the one who was breaking her heart. So in a sense, she says, Rama, right, Rochav pi aloivai, look what happened. Baruch Hashem, because of Hashem's Yeshua, because of Hashem's salvation, I was able to have this child and, so to speak, stick it to my enemy and swallow up my enemy. Pasuk Beis, Ein kadosh ka Hashem ki ein bi'altecha. There's no one as holy as Hashem. There's no one besides for Hashem. Ve'ein sur kelokenu, and there's no rock. There's no rock like a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So what does it mean that Hashem is a Tzur? And of course we know this from Psukim and Tehillim. And in our tefillah we refer to Hashem as Tzur. Excuse me. Tzur Yisrael go alo. So in a sense, Hashem is the Tzur. Hashem is the rock. The rock is the thing that you hold on to. and that keeps you stable no matter what. Excuse me. So often in life, things happen in life, and we go through challenges, we go through difficult times, and we need that rock to hold on to, we need that sur, we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to hold on to. And so often he's the only one that we can hold on to that will really get us through the challenges. That's the pashup shot in the terminology of tzur, that Hashem is our rock. Hashem is the one who keeps us stable and who keeps us on the right track. Rashi quotes another Gemara, which is a Gemara in Brachos also in other places, ve'ein tzur kelokenu, ve'ein tzayar kelokenu, that there's no artist like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no artist like our God. In what way is Hashem an artist? That you have other artists, the Gemara says, that can create paintings, can create drawings, can even create statues and things that look like human beings. Today we have, we can create robots and other things that look like human beings, that act like human beings in some ways. But ve'in tzayar kelokenu, that there's no one who can create one human being inside of another. That as much as we have artificial intelligence and all of these other things nowadays, but there's no one who can create one human being inside of the other. One of the greatest miracles that exist in this world is the development of a human being. Development of some animals also is like that, but the development of a human being inside of its mother to develop from nothing into a child is just mind-boggling. The miracles that go into this creation of Hashem ve'in tzur kelokenu, and that's why Chana is specifying this, because she just had a child. She just had Shmuel ve'in tzayar kelokenu. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this child inside of me is wondrous, is amazing, is miraculous, is incredible. Pasuk Gimel. Al tarbu sedabru givoa givoa. Do not increasingly speak haughtily. Who spoke haughtily? Penina, says Rashi. Penina was the one who spoke haughtily. She was haughty. And Rashi explains, a person should not just be haughty just because right now you're successful. Yetze asak mipichem, let not arrogance come out of your mouth. Ki kel deos Hashem. For the Hashem is the God of thoughts. He's the one who knows everyone's thoughts. Velo niskinu alilos, and to him the deeds are counted. Meaning that a person should not be arrogant just because a person is successful in whatever way, shape, or form. In this case, Penina had many children, Baruch Hashem. She was successful in that regard. Don't be haughty. Don't be arrogant. Don't think that it's something that you've accomplished. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what you're really like. Hashem knows all of your thoughts. Not a person doesn't have great thoughts all the time. Hashem knows your thoughts, and Hashem counts all of your deeds. You may do some things right, but there are plenty of things that we do that are not right. And therefore, a person should never be too haughty, because we always have to recognize that there are things that we hide from everyone else, whether it's our thoughts or whether it's our deeds. And that's what maybe makes us seem so great. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows the truth. He's the one who really knows the truth. He's the one who really knows what's going on. So don't let your arrogance speak. Don't be haughty just because now you're successful. That was the lesson. that Chana is describing, that she learned from Penina. Pasuk Dalet, Keshes Giborim Chatim. The bows of the mighty are broken. Right, the mighty who have these bows, referring to the bows and arrows. So Hashem breaks those bows. V'nichsholim Ozru Chayil, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. Explains Rashi that when it comes to Hashem's interactions in this world, so often it's reversing roles. You have people who started off weak, all of a sudden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes them strong. People that were once strong, all of a sudden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes them weak. Which is exactly the point of this pasuk. Says Chana, Penina, right, just a short time ago, Penina was the one with 10 children. I had nothing. And now, Baruch Hashem, I'm the one with children. There's a Gemara that says also, as we'll see in a moment, that there's a Gemara that says that every time Chana had a child, Penina lost two of her children. Chana had one child and two of Penina's children died. No doubt as a punishment because of the tsar and the anguish that she caused Penina. So that's also, perhaps, according to Chazal, what's going on behind the scenes in this pasuk, that Penina was the great one. She was the one who had all these children, and now her children are dying. Not that Chana is, chas v'shalom, happy about the fact that Penina was losing her children, but she just is pointing out that in the Hashkach of Hashem, you see this reversal of roles. You see how things are switched, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu strengthens the weak, and sometimes weakens the strong. And the next couple of psukim also describe this same phenomenon. Excuse me, pasuk hey, seveyim balechem niskaru. Those who were satisfied with bread, those who had a lot of parnasa, and they didn't have to work so much. Niskaru, they had to hire themselves out for bread. They had to go back to work. Why? Kadosh Baruch Hu reversed their fortunes. Ure'evim chadelu, and those who were hungry, Kadosh Baruch Hu stopped it. They're no longer hungry. Their hunger ceased. Now they have plenty. Now they're wealthy. Adakara yalda shiva, the rabbas banim umlala. While the barren woman has borne seven, she that had many children has been bereaved. And again, Chazal, that last line certainly alludes to the fact that Penina was losing these children as Chana was having them. The pasuk does imply that Chana had seven children. So Rashi quotes several different pshatim. Either Chana actually had seven children. We read a little bit later about the fact that Chana did have other children. We don't list seven, but maybe Chana really did have seven. So maybe Rashi says banim harehim ki bnei banim. I'm sorry, harehim ki banim. Then maybe Chana's grandchildren counted as part of the seven. And further, the gematria of Shmuel and Shiva are the same. So maybe the Yalda Shiva doesn't actually mean seven children, but it means that she had Shmuel who was like seven children. Maybe he was equal to seven children in terms of, as we mentioned, he was very precocious and he was very bright and sharp, almost like seven children. but that's alluded to in this pasuk. Pasuk Vav, again, the same idea. Hashem meimis umechaya. Hashem brings death, and then he brings life. He kills people, and he brings people into this world. Morid Sheol vayal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings some people down to the depths, down to the grave, vayal, and he raises them up as well. As we know, Tchias HaMesim will be the ultimate vayal. Pasuk Zayin. Hashem morish umashir. Hashem sometimes makes people poor, and then he can make people wealthy also. Mashpil af meromeh. Right, he humbles and he also exalts. It's just as an aside, such an important idea today when so many of us are unfortunately struggling. Baruch Hashem, the health toll of coronavirus has slowed. It still is affecting people, and we still have to daven for refuah shleima for people who are ill, and unfortunately still taking the lives of some. But the lasting impact, of course, for many of us is this morish umashir, the uncertainty, the economic uncertainty. People who lost their jobs, people who took salary cuts, people who lost pensions or savings and things like that. But we have to also recognize, of course, easier said than done, but to drill it into ourselves, each and every one of us, again and again, Hashem morish umashir. The same HaKadosh Baruch Hu who gave us the parnasa can take it away, and he can bring it back again, and to daven to him constantly that he should rectify the situation and allow us to be stable and thriving once again. Pasuk Ches, Meikim Me'afar Adal. This pasuk will be familiar. There's a very similar pasuk in Tehillim as part of Hallel, which we recite. Meikim Me'afar Adal. He lifts the poor from the dust. Me'ashpos Yarim Evyon, from the dunghill, from the garbage heap. He raises the pauper. Lahoshivim Nedivim, to seat him with princes. The Chisei Chavod Yanchilem, and to bring him a seat of honor. Mitzuke Eretz Kila Hashem. I'm sorry, Mitzuke Eretz. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's. Kadosh Baruch Hu created this whole world. He created this entire universe. He can do whatever he wants. He can turn things upside down. He can make the poor wealthy, the strong weak. He can do it all because he's the one who created the world. Vayoshes Aleihem Tevel, and he's the one who places the world upon them. The Kadosh Baruch Hu created everything. Pasuk Tes Ragle Chasidov Yishmor. It's written actually in the singular, as you see, Ksiv Chasidov, and it's pronounced in the plural Chasidov. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu guards the feet of the pious ones, either the multiple, plural, or the singular, and says Rashi, it doesn't matter if we're talking about a single chassid, a single pious person, or a group of chassidim, a group of pious people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu guards them. If you're a pious person, Hashem is going to protect you. Ureshayim b'choshech yidamu, and the wicked shall be cut off in the darkness, ki lo v'choach yigbar ish. For not by strength will man prevail. People have strength and they plan, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes it all away, as we've read. And just the last pasuk for tonight, Hashem Yechatu Mirivo Alav, or Mirivov, pronounced Alav, but again, it's written Mirivo, pronounced Mirivov. Those who strive with the Lord will be broken, meaning those who fight against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, whether it's a Yachid or a Rabbim, whether it's a group or individuals, if you fight with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to break you. Alav Bashamayim Yareim, upon him will he thunder in the heaven. Hashem Yadin Afsei Aretz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will judge the ends of the earth. V'yitein Oz L'malko, he will grant strength to his king, the king that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be in this world. He'll give him the strength, V'yarim keren mishicho, and raise the horn of his anointed one. Again, referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashgacha in this world. So that's the Pashup Shad of the Tefillah of Chanan Mirtz Hashem. Next week, we'll pick up with the Malbim's understanding. He has a little bit of a deeper understanding and a theme that runs through this Tefillah. Well, Mirtz Hashem next week, we'll pick up with that understanding. Thank you all for joining and for listening.
Thumbs up. Okay. First